He run right out 11, 7 is crap, crap 11.
The number 7 has long been connected with luck or good fortune. An ancient source now proves that 7 is more than a superstitious lucky number. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. It was about the year 96 A.D. that John the Revelator was exiled to the lonely little isle of Patmos because of his testimony for Jesus. It was believed by the cruel Roman emperor who placed him there that his influence for Christianity would now be entirely destroyed. But instead of this, we find that John was chosen of God to be his special prophet. And on that little rocky island, John was privileged to look in some of the most rapturous scenes ever beheld by man. And he wrote them down as a permanent record for generations to come. This is why we have now the tremendous record of prophecy in the Bible book of Revelation. One of the most thrilling pictures portrayed in the pages of John's book is that which shows the development of the church from the time of Christ right down to the very end of the world. In 7 pictures under the symbols of seals, a perfect chronological vision was given to John, revealing the history of the church. Now the vision actually opens in Revelation 5:1, and he has there a view of heaven itself. He said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals." Now here John sees one seated on a throne with a book in his hand. By the way, books in those days were in the form of scrolls rolled together. And this one was sealed within and also on the backside, and it was sealed with 7 seals. Apparently, the Revelator was impressed that this scroll contained something of very, very great importance. Yet, nobody was seen worthy to unloose the scroll and reveal the contents of it. John wept over it as we read the story here in the Bible, and in verse 2, "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither upon the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Now this dramatic scene made an overwhelming impression on the mind of John. And we can well understand why he wept, really, because nobody was found worthy to understand the things written in the important scroll. But in the midst of his sorrow, John is interrupted by another voice. And as we read on in verse 5, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 heads and 7 eyes, which had the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now, in reading this description, friends, let's remember that these things are given to us in types and symbols. You'll notice the predominance of this word 7, which exemplifies perfection throughout the book of Revelation. Here Christ is brought into the picture, as he had been slain, we're told, from the foundation of the world. The representation here is of a perfect sacrifice, with perfect knowledge and perception of everything in earth as well as in heaven. So, only one being could be found worthy to unloose the seals and look on the scrolls, and that was Jesus Christ himself, the Lamb of God. As he took the scroll to unloose it, all the assembled multitude of heavenly beings lifted their voices in singing a new song, as described in verse 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." All right, now we're prepared to see the unfolding and unveiling of the contents of this important book or scroll, beginning in chapter 6, verse 1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now notice that the first representation is a white horse, revealing and symbolizing the purity of that first period of the church's history. The apostolic church, of course, did go forth with great victory to conquer the world for Christ. The crown represents kingship. There was a bold, fresh fearlessness about those who went forth from Pentecost to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the text says, they went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, Paul was an example of the tremendous courage manifested by those early preachers of the way. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." He, of course, had not seen, as the other disciples, the actual healing and preaching ministry of Jesus. But nevertheless, he had been an eyewitness of that power on the road to Damascus as Christ was revealed to him. No wonder, then, that there was such boldness in the preaching of the gospel in those days. The disciples knew that what they were talking about because they had been with Jesus. They had actually seen with their own eyes the mighty power of his ministry. The gospel actually reached out to cover the entire world in the days of the Apostle Paul, according to Colossians 1:23. Thus we have a view of the first period of the history of the Christian church as it began to grow up into its worldwide scope. This period would probably cover, in general, the times of the apostles and their ministry. And, of course, it was represented in the vision here by the white horse going forth to conquer. But now we read Revelation 6, 3 and 4, describing the second seal. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Notice something now, friends. The color of the horse has changed from white to red, denoting a gradual change in the purity of that early church. Worldliness began to creep in, and the zeal of the people waned as the apostles passed off the stage. In Acts 20, 29 and 30, Paul actually prophesied of a departure from the faith soon after his own death. He said, "After my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock." And sure enough, we find that divisions did arise. Men set themselves up to lord their authority over the church of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, we read about a falling away that would come. A man of sin or mystery of iniquity would arrive, seeking to destroy the original truth of the gospel. Paul said the mystery of iniquity was even working in his day. There were inroads of pagan ideas gradually gaining ground within the church. Of course, we know that those things were finally fully revealed, and many of them stand fully revealed in our own time as well. But it was only like a leaven working in the days of the Apostle Paul. The general time period of the second seal reaches down to about 323, or approximately the time of Constantine the Great. Now, Constantine was the first so-called Christian emperor of the Roman Empire. As he went out to fight a battle, the Battle of Milvian Bridge, he was reputedly converted by seeing a flaming cross up in the sky, a vision. And underneath that flaming cross, it said, "In this sign, conquer." Now, he thought that meant he should be a Christian in order to win his battles, and that his army also should be a Christian army. So he really marched them through a river and professed Christianity, told them they were all now baptized. And those pagans by the million were taken right into the church. Afterwards, it was the determination of Constantine to build up the influence and prestige of the church. In order to do this, he actually brought in many of the pagan doctrines and ideas of the heathen world to establish the authority of the church that he had espoused. That was a very sad, sad, tragic period of the church's history, friends, when there was such a deplorable compromise made with paganism and so many false doctrines crept right into the church. But now we go on to the third seal revealed in Revelation 6, 5 and 6. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand." Now, friends, here we see a complete turning away or departure from the original purity of the gospel. Spiritual darkness descended as more and more Gnostic and heathen influence infiltrated the church. We see almost the opposite of the apostolic purity now. Instead of white, it has turned black. The balances here symbolize a spirit of commercialism that became rampant at this period of the church's history. Substitutes were set up for the actual commands of God and Christ. In general, the Spirit extended from the time of Constantine to about 538, when some drastic steps were taken to actually put down the law of God and to dispense with some of the commandments contained in the Ten Commandments. How very fitting, then, that this period of the Church's history should be symbolized by a black horse. Verses 6 and 7 bring to view the fourth seal under the symbol, then, of a pale horse. Now, this fourth seal is very, very important, friends, so I hope you'll follow closely. We've had the white horse and the red horse and the black horse showing how the doctrines of the Church would be changed and how paganism would come in. But now we come to a horse that is neither white, red, or black. It's called a pale horse. Let's read what the prophet says about it. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now here we come to the time of the persecution period of history, friends, the Dark Ages, beginning in general about 538 A.D., and extending for almost 1,000 years. Now during this time, more than 50 million martyrs laid down their lives for the truth's sake. This period actually continued almost to the time of the Protestant Reformation. And time would fail us to describe the awful inquisitions of some of the Roman emperors and their successors. Christians were thrown to the wild animals and the arenas. Thousands upon thousands died because they refused to yield up the faith delivered to them through Christ. In Matthew 24:22, Jesus said, "For the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." And so it was. Martin Luther arose and nailed his thesis on the church door at Wittenberg. And friends, we should be very, very thankful for that date of October 31, 1517. For without that, we might not have a July 4, 1776. The courage of Luther and other great names of the Reformation period have made possible the concepts of freedom and religious liberty as we understand them in our modern age. Well, we'll have to continue with the fifth seal in our next broadcast, and also the seventh seal, sixth and seventh. You'll find this subject increasingly interesting as we get down closer to our own day and the prophecy. And this is what makes the book of Revelation so fascinating to those of us who live in these perilous last days. It opens up a time period for us that has been described very accurately in the Bible. I'm sure that many of you who listen today realize that very little of the Bible remains to be fulfilled. Time has just about run its course, but the few events which are left are filled with the most solemn importance and urgencies for each one of us. And this is why you need to study the beautiful information folders that are free on request. The spectacular events leading up to the coming of Christ are described dramatically in folder C, entitled, "It's Headed Straight Towards You." In that folder, you'll see the headlines of today's newspapers come to life under the spotlight of God's Word. You can never look at current events again without realizing how short time really is. Every earthquake, tornado, or flood is a graphic reminder that the earth is worn out like a garment, and the Lord is coming very, very soon. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.